Now, this morning I was over speaking at the Ambassador Baptist College, and I had a wonderful time with the students as well as with the faculty. I had a wonderful service there. And I thank God for the fact we can have you folk here this evening. And I hope what I bring to your attention, God will use it to strengthen your life as a child of God, okay? We're going to talk about the ministry this evening, okay? Would you look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1? Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Oh, dear Father, I pray tonight that your Holy Spirit will take the power of your word. And God, that you do a mighty work in our midst, that you stir the inner man of thy people. And Father, may someone be saved as a result of you stirring the heart of thy people tonight. We ask in Christ's name, amen. If you want to know the heart of a person, you don't have to be around them very long. In other words, you people have seen me for a week already. And you know what? You've already have formulated an opinion about me. Jerry Savinsky does not preach long. That's what you say. And there's other things you won't say in front of my face, but there's certain things you know about my life, okay? My actions and so forth. You have formulated an opinion. You know why? You cannot be around a person very long until you sense the spirit of that person, okay? The Apostle Paul was a modest man of God. And if you want to know the heart and the life of the Apostle Paul, then you study 2 Corinthians, because this man just reveals his life. And I want you to look upon this man's life tonight, and I do want you to observe his ministry. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now look, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. God gave those men a specific ministry. Likewise with you and me, God has given us a specific ministry. Now, I know God's called me to be an evangelist, and I go around America and around the world preaching, and you may never do that. However, God still has a ministry for you. And in our ministry, the Apostle Paul said, we faint not. That's very powerful. Now, when I was a senior in college, I felt led of the Lord to start a church in Anderson, South Carolina. Now, I knew as a freshman that God had called me to be an evangelist. However, I felt if I'm going to spend my entire life with men of God, I ought to know the function of a local church, and I ought to know the heart of a pastor. And therefore, I was so burdened, I went down to a town called Anderson, South Carolina, to start an independent Baptist church. I had no congregation, I had no building, and I had no financial supports. I did not know, Pastor, I was supposed to have financial support. I just stepped out by faith to start this church. So I go down to Anderson, and I ran into this man named Mr. King. And Mr. King was a man who owned the Shell Oil Company. And so he said, so you want to start a church, huh? I said, yes, I do, sir. He said, well, let me take you around and show you some buildings that you can rent. And so I got out of my white Volkswagen into his brand new white Cadillac. And so Mr. King took me around Anderson and said, now, you can rent this building for $400. Or you can rent this building for $350. And that one right there, you can rent that one for $200. Look at me, congregation. And this is the truth. I could not afford $4. I had no money. I was a senior in college, okay? And so I said, no, I can't take those buildings. So I go back to school, and I got a phone call from the man who was in charge of the preacher boys, Dr. Gilbert Stenhome. He called me up and said, Jerry, there's a banker in Anderson who's heard that you want to start a church, and he wants to meet you. I said, a banker wants to meet me? Yes, he heard you want to start a church. He wants to meet you. And so I said, okay. And so I go down to Anderson to meet this banker. And I walk in the office, and I said to the lady, I said, the president of this bank wants to meet me. And my name is Jerry Savinsky. She said, go into his office. And so I walked in the office. The carpet was this thick, okay? Very plush office. And he said, well, I understand you want to start a church here in Anderson. Is that so? I said, yes, sir, that's so. He said, I like your attitude. I said, thank you, sir. He said, I have a building I would like for you to have. I will not charge you any rents. And my eyeballs got this big. I said, really? He said, yes. As a matter of fact, he said, I'm not going to charge you for any electricity. I said, really? He said, yes. Would you like to see it? I said, yes, sir, I would. So I picked my head up, and I began to walk out the door to go see this building. And we walk across the street, and we go down beside the West Earl Pool Room, right where all of the winos held out in Anderson, a little pink front building, and said, there it is. And God put a pin right in my head, took all the air out. He said, will you want it? I said, what could I say, congregation? I said, yes, I'll take it. And then I went to the rescue mission, and they gave me songbooks, and they gave me folding chairs, and I paid $5 to build my own pulpits. And then I began to preach to my wife, Sharon. I mean, for 10 weeks, I preached only to Sharon. She never raised her hand. She never came down the aisle for any decision. And you know what? We would go down there and stay all day Sunday. We had no place to stay. We'd go visiting. And by the way, I was not used to Southern ways. I'm from West Virginia, my friend. I'm only 60 miles from Pittsburgh. I never heard of hog jowls, collards, black-eyed peas, fried okra, sweet tea, stuff that will be in heaven, no doubt, one of these days. You know, I did not know this Southern food, and I did not know Southern ways. You see, in West Virginia, where I'm from, when you go invite a man to a church, he'll look you right in the eyes and either cuss you out and say, no, I won't come to your church, or else he'll say, I'll be there. And he would be there. I was not used to what I call this Southern ethical kindness. You get that? That's a Savinsky phrase. Southern ethical kindness. We would go, my wife and I go soul winning, and they'd say to me, where y'all located? We said, by the West Earl Pool Room on West Earl Street. They said, what time does the service start? We said, 10 o'clock. They said, we'll be there. Bunch of liars. No one showed up. For 10 weeks, no one showed up. And finally, after 10 Sundays, preaching just to Sharon, I brought a man and his wife, Benny and Laura Moran, that your pastor worked under for 8 years, and what a godly man Benny Moran is. And anyhow, Benny taught my Sunday school class. And when he got through teaching, no one showed up. And so I was so heartbroken. And so the next Sunday, well, I was ready to quit. I mean, I was so upset because no one showed up. I said, well, Benny, I guess God just thought we started a church. I said, you know a place we can go and eat? And he said, yes. There's a Greasy Spoon. That was the name of the restaurant. There is a Greasy Spoon. You can go. We can go there. So I said, let's go. I mean, I was in the pit of despair. 10 weeks of preaching, no one showing up, all that visitation. I'm walking out the door when in walked two ladies who almost knocked me over that my wife and I had visited just the day before on Saturday. And I said, come on in, ladies. We are now ready to start our service. And you know something? I'll never forget the first sermon I preached to a congregation of two. Okay, here is my message. Here is my text and my outline. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, the wonderful fact, that He gave His only begotten Son, the wonderful act, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, the wonderful pact. Now my wife, Benny, and Laura over here, the two ladies are over here, there was no platform. We're talking folding chairs, all right? And so I said, if there's anyone here today, and you recognize you need Christ as your Savior, raise your hand in the air. And one lady, she went like this. And I said, well, God bless you, ma'am. I see you. Is there anybody else? And the other lady, she raised her hand high in the air for salvation. You know what, congregation? I am one of the very few preachers who ever got a 100% response in his first message. And know what? I didn't want to embarrass the two ladies over here, so I looked over Sharon's head, and I said, now, if you raise your hand and you want to be saved, you should come down the aisle. There'll be a lady, take the Bible, and take you behind the piano. By the way, we had no bathroom facilities. We had no rooms, just a little rinky-dink, little platform, building that would not hold more than 40 people. You heard me right. No bathrooms, no rooms, just a piano that I paid $60 for. And so, I said, you can come down the aisle. And those girls, they held on to those chairs and they would not come. Well, next Sunday, I thought for sure they'll come back. So I brought Benny and Laura Moran, and then I brought Tom and Linda Harper. And I was going to have Tom lead songs and have his wife sing with my wife Sharon. Well, that morning, Benny taught the Sunday school class, and Tom led the songs, and nobody showed up. Nobody. Well, the services started at 7:30 when I started his church, and so that night, the service started at 7:30. So at 7:15, I was so discouraged, I took my coat off. When all of a sudden, Tom Harper said, Jerry, get your coat on. Here come some people. And so I put my coat on, and I said, where are they, Tom? He said, I'm just teasing you. Well, congregation, I was not in a teasing mode. So I took my coat back off. It was 7:25. When all of a sudden, Tom Harper said, Brother Jerry, get your coat on. Here come some people. And I said, now, Tom, you stop teasing me here. You quit teasing me. He said, I am not teasing you. Look out the door. I looked at the door. It looked like 100 people were marching to our church. It was only 25. But if you preach to one person for 10 weeks, you think 25 looked like 100. These two unsaved ladies brought 25 of their unsaved friends to the revival that night, or that meeting that night. And so when I preached, and here's how I gave the invitation. I said, there'll be no standing up, there'll be no playing the piano, and no raising of hands. If you want Christ to save you, step out right now and come to me. And that night, 8 adults stepped out and came down the aisle to receive Christ as their Savior. And God taught me a valuable lesson. It's always too soon to quit. Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And congregation, in the ministry that God gives us, we cannot faint. But look at verse 2, please. Look at Paul's message. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience and the sight of God. Look here, please. In the ministry, Paul had the message. The manifestation of the truth. You know, when I went to South Carolina, I had a wonderful neighbor. And it's too long to share with you, but a godly Southern gentleman. I mean Southern to the core. A man of God who was the greatest soul winner I knew in the South. His name was Barney Clark. Barney made mops and brooms for a living in Star, South Carolina. He put a gospel track in every mop and broom he made. He picked up hitchhikers, led them to Christ. They went off to college. There are three of them in the ministry that were saved under this man of God, Barney Clark. Barney was not used. I was not used to Southern ways, and Barney was not used to Northern ways. And so I would go to Barney's house, and his wife was a wonderful cook. And I said, well, Barney, I've got to go home. He said, why you got to go home? I said, because Sharon has to make supper. And he burst over laughing. I mean, he's in convulsions. I'm wondering, why is this man laughing so hard? He finally gathers his composure, and he said, Jerry, did you say Sharon is going to make supper? I said, yeah, Barney, what's wrong with that? He said, Jerry, here in the South, we don't make supper. We cook supper. Oh, I tell you what. He was enamored with me, but I was enamored with him as well. He said, Jerry, can I carry y'all to town? And I burst out laughing. I mean, I am laughing my head off. Barney said, Brother Jerry, what are you laughing about, boy? I said, Barney, did you just say, you want to carry me to town? He said, yeah. What's wrong with that? I said, Barney, you going to pick me up and carry me to town? I said, in West Virginia, we don't carry people to town. We take them to town. Oh, I tell you, we had such a great time with this godly man. Made a great impact upon my life. And when I got ready on evangelism, that man of God looked at me and said these exact words. And by the way, when he got serious with you, he'd always do this. He crossed his arms, lowered his head, and he said, Brother Jerry, can I give you some counsel, son? I said, yes, Brother Barney. What would that be? He said, Brother Jerry, when you go into evangelism, you preach the word, the word, the word. You hear? I'll never forget the long as I live. Preach the word. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. My friend, this is God's power. The message that God honors is his word. You have the greatest power in your possession. This power is the word of God that never, never returns unto us void. But then third of all, we find the Apostle Paul shows us his mission. Look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know what? We cannot lose sight of our mission. And sometimes it's easy to do that because of the rat race of life that all of us are involved in. For example, many years ago, here I am. I'm pastoring a church now. I'm teaching 7th and 8th grade public high school. I'm coaching football. I'm coaching also basketball. I'm building a church. I'm running in all these directions. And so one Saturday morning, which I spent in preparation because I was going in all these different directions, on one Saturday morning, I was in my study, and the Lord burdened my heart to go soul winning. And so the burden got so great, I said to the Lord, Lord, I can't go. I've got too much to do. And the Lord began to just deeply prompt me about going soul winning. And look, congregation, there's no audible voice. But is the prompting of God in my life? And if you don't know what that is, you better get on your knees and pray for God to help you to be sensitive to the voice of God when he prompts you by his Spirit. And so I got so upset. I looked at my wife. I said, Sharon, I said, I've got to go soul winning. I'll see you later. I got in the car. I began to go toward Anderson, and I said, "Well, Lord, you want me to go soul winning so badly? Then show me where to go." Oh, isn't that a wonderful spirit to have? Huh? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. I was frustrated. And it seemed like the Lord told me to go down a road. I've never been down that road ever. I said, "Where to now, Lord?" And there's another street I turned on. And I can see it right now in my mind, a house on the left side of the road. There's the house. I had never been in the neighborhood. I had never been at that house. And God is my witness. So I got out. I opened the door. I go to the house. I knocked on the door. A lady, I would say probably in her 50s or 60s, answers the door. And I, by the way, when I was pastoring, I was only 22, okay? And so I said, "Ma'am, my name is Jerry Savinsky. I am pastor of the Fellowship Baptist Church." And she said, "Oh, no. Oh, no. My neighbors called you up, didn't they?" I said, "Oh, no, ma'am, your neighbors did not call me up." Then she said, "Oh, I know. My two daughters, they're the ones. They called you, didn't they?" I said, "No, ma'am, nobody's called me. Why are you asking me all these questions?" She began to cry. And she said these exact words, "I have been up all night praying for God to send someone to my house to tell me how I could go to heaven. I walked in that house. I sat down beside that dear lady. I opened the Word of God. I led that lady to Christ. I said, 'Ma'am, would you like to invite?' She said, 'Yes! I want to be saved.' She got on her knees and she prayed and invited Christ in her heart. I got in my car. I began to drive back to Star. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed to tell you this. I was weeping so hard, I could not see where I was going. I pulled the car over on the side of the road. I turned ignition off, and then I screamed out to God, and I said, 'Dear Father, help me never to lose sight of individual souls.'" You know what? If my boys were here tonight, my daughter Jennifer, they would tell you what I tell them on every phone call, even to this day, after all these years, okay? Every phone call ends like this: "Todd, hey, Brent, hey, Scott, or Jennifer, don't lose your zeal for souls. Congregation, we cannot lose sight of our mission. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost." And I would pray to God tonight, the Lord will stir your life, that you'll see you as an individual have a ministry. Your message is the power of God's Word. My friend, your mission is to go and tell others about Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray, please.